From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, January 9th. Coming up, we'll hear from farmers around the central U.S. about what made 2025 such a tough year and what's ahead. More on that story coming up, but first, these headlines. Cleanup is underway after severe storms crossed central Illinois last night. The National Weather Service issued severe thunderstorm warnings in parts of Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties. The Coles County Airport recorded a 60-mile-per-hour wind gust. Multiple power lines and poles nearby were reported blown over. WCIA-TV reported multiple semis were blown over along I-57 and I-72. The president of the University of Illinois system announced yesterday he will step down in 2027 because of family considerations. IPM's Emily Hayes has more.
Tim Killeen leads the U of I system's universities in Springfield, Chicago, and Urbana-Champaign. He started off the role in 2015, soon after Illinois' public universities got almost no money due to a state budget crisis. Killeen says he's proud the system still managed to limit tuition increases at the three schools.
We have worked together as a team to create avenues and pathways to world-class educational opportunities at an affordable price with access. And the growth in enrollment is a signal that that's worked well.
The University of Illinois Board of Trustees plans to begin the search for the next president in the coming weeks. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says President Trump and Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem are lying about the fatal shooting of Renee Nicole Good in Minnesota. Federal authorities claim ICE agents acted in self-defense when one shot and killed the 37-year-old. But Pritzker saw something else.
Kristi Noem and Donald Trump have told Americans to disbelieve clear, indisputable video evidence. They want you to question what your eyes and ears are telling you, and instead blindly believe anything that they say.
Pritzker says Illinois knows Minnesota's pain, pointing to last year's fatal ICE shooting of Silverio Villegas Gonzalez in Franklin Park. And Pritzker signed into law a broad clean energy package aimed at lowering people's utility bills. The legislation the governor enacted focuses on energy grid capacity by encouraging more battery storage in Illinois and lifting a ban on building large nuclear reactors, among other things. Pritzker said soaring energy prices in Illinois are a direct cause of President Trump's tariffs on products needed for clean energy construction.
More fossil fuels will be used to produce electricity, and that drives property insurance bills up. It threatens our agriculture industry. It pollutes the air that we breathe. It's a reckless energy agenda that's taking us backward.
Pritzker says Illinois is hoping to, quote, forge a different path. Coming up, we'll hear from farmers around the central U.S. about what made 2025 such a tough year and what's ahead. That story is coming up, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for cloudy skies and blustery winds with a high of 49 degrees, with a west wind 15 to 25 miles per hour gusting to 45 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 37 degrees, northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain or snow flurries and a high of 42 degrees, northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 21 degrees, northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 33 degrees, with a northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, months of U.S. military pressure on Venezuela culminated in the capture of the country's president, Nicolas Maduro. We'll talk about how we got here and what comes next. Plus, the Chicago Bears are in the playoffs. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Across the U.S., 2025 was a hard year to be a farmer. The shakeup of markets and federal programs this year made an already fragile farm economy even more uncertain. As Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, producers are still feeling the fallout of these changes and trying to figure out what they mean for 2026.
Under a blanket of snow in western Wisconsin, Craig Meyer's grain bins are full this winter. Oh, everything here is corn. I rented, it's about 75,000 bushels of storage at a different farm here this fall.
He's holding on to his crop until the spring in order to get a better price, especially for soybeans. It's an unusual decision for Meyer, who spent the last 40 years hauling his crop to a nearby grain terminal at harvest time. But 2025 was an unusual year for most farmers. Across the central U.S., producers faced tight margins, ever-changing global trade conditions, and a shakeup of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and many of its programs. From the start of the year, Meyer knew his margins were going to be tight. Soybean prices have been down since the end of 2023. At the same time, the cost of supplies have continued to rise, from seeds to combines.
Parts, repair bills, fuel, it's hard to get away from the bills because it's stuff you got to have.
Balancing the books became even more challenging for crop farmers when President Donald Trump fulfilled his campaign promise of bringing back tariffs on China and other major trading partners. The Trump administration constantly changed who was paying higher tariffs and on what products. Ag economist Paul Mitchell from the University of Wisconsin-Madison says that had a real impact on producers' ability to plan ahead.
All the farmers heard was uncertainty, uncertainty, uncertainty in the midst of this troubled economic outlook.
And it wasn't just tariffs that were constantly changing. The Trump administration canceled billions of dollars in grants and food assistance programs. Travis Jones grows gourmet mushrooms in southwestern Missouri. He was working to apply for a small business grant to advertise his products beyond the farmers markets he usually sells at. But the program was abruptly canceled in July.
So I'll just give up on that now because I don't have that marketing ability on my side that I would have with that grant.
Trump's USDA also terminated two programs meant to get local food into schools and food banks. Those programs were worth $1 billion. And Nebraska beef producer Jordan Clausen says they provided predictable revenue for farmers.
Being able to purchase from a smaller producer just creates a lot of stability in the business.
Even assistance that wasn't canceled has been affected by the loss of thousands of USDA employees this year. Clausen says she and other farmers are used to going to local agency staff for informal help with projects on the farm or business-related questions.
The people that you're used to talking to are covering 2, 3, 4 people's jobs, and so their availability of time to even have any of these discussions is drastically reduced.
Those staffing issues could complicate rolling out the $12 billion bailout for farmers announced by the Trump administration earlier this month. It's expected to be paid out in February, but many farmers, including Meyer in Wisconsin, say they're not sure it's something they can rely on. As Meyer waits for better prices for his corn and soybeans, he still has to settle his bills for this year and negotiate a loan for 2026. Right now, cash is pretty tight.
This is new territory for me, and so that's why I'm trying to figure out how to juggle all this.
He says the cost of seeds and other inputs isn't getting any lower, and he wonders how long he and other farmers can keep borrowing to get by. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Hope Kerwin.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Kimberly Schofield. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Emily Hayes, Mawa Iqbal, and Hope Kerwin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.